Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, November the 4th, an absolutely beautiful day here in North Texas. I mean, it's just, what do they call this, Chamber of Commerce Day? I don't know what they call it. I just call it a beautiful day, just a lovely, absolutely lovely day here in North Texas. Well, I've got a few thoughts about Justice Kavanaugh. You may have heard that one of the women who was accusing him has pretty much admitted that the whole thing was made up. And I've got some thoughts about that. I have a post over at The American Thinker about that that I like to talk to you a little bit about as well. And El Chapo down in Texas, or down in Mexico, I should say, we're getting an update on what's happening with his business. You know, he's in jail, of course, in New York. He's been up there, I guess, for half a year. He's been in jail in New York. But the business is doing just well. And that's because the family is still running it. Interesting story, to say the least. Of course, the big story this weekend, and it'll be for the next 72 hours, it's just going to be, I mean, this is going to be all you're going to hear about for the next 72 hours. The big story is the midterms. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with the midterms? Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? I think that right now, the consensus at this moment on Sunday afternoon, the consensus is that the Democrats have a small advantage in the House, meaning that if the election were held at this moment, they might pick up the majority by less than 10 seats or less than 10 districts. And that the Republicans will keep the Senate, perhaps even increase their majority. That seems to be where everybody is at the moment. I think that's probably true. I probably agree with that, with one exception. I think this is all about turnout. And if the Republicans have the kind of turnout that I believe they're going to have, the Republicans will keep the House and the gains in the Senate will be even bigger than what we've talked about. I mean, there are potential pickups for the Republicans in New Jersey, in Florida, and there's even one in Michigan that people are talking about. I still think that I think Florida is very doable. I think New Jersey and Michigan are long shots. But if you get a heavy turnout, all bets are off. So it's all going to be about turnout on Tuesday. Whoever turns out, tell me who's going to turn out, and I will give you a pretty good idea of what's going to happen on Tuesday night. No question the Democrats are going to turn out. No question about that. So the question is right now, what type of turnout do the Republicans have? Because if it's a bigger turnout, then, of course, the Republicans will hold on to the House, to say the least. So just stay tuned. I think we'll probably be getting some information about turnout probably late afternoon as some of the exit polls begin to come in and some of the reports from the campaign begin to come in. I think we'll get some early signs of turnout. We'll see how it's doing from coast to coast. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning about Justice Kavanaugh. It appears that one of the women who had accused him, this is a lady by the name of Julia, I don't remember. One of the ladies who accused him, literally of rape, is now confessing that she never met him. She doesn't know who he is or didn't know him. And it turns out that she's basically admitting that, yes, I lied about the whole thing. And then, of course, there's another possibility with the other lady, who I think her name is also Julie, of a potential problem there as well. And I think we've reached the point now where Justice Kavanaugh, I think, would be justified, very much justified, to file a defamation suit against these two women and simply say, hey, you know, this is not right for you to try to destroy my reputation like this. Now, in the past, winning a defamation case against or for a public figure to win a defamation case, it's always been very tough because you basically have to prove intent and you have to prove all kinds of things. The hurdle is pretty high. But I think in this case, it's obvious what the intent was. The intent was to hurt him. It's obvious now that the women are saying he never did it. So it seems to me, I'm not an attorney. I don't obviously I'm just giving you a gut feeling as a person. It seems to me that there's intent and there's clearly damage that was done to Judge Kavanaugh and especially his family. How would you like to be his daughters? How would you like to be his wife? How would you like to be his mother, his father, and have to hear stuff like this every day? So I'm really hoping he probably won't do it. I think he probably doesn't want to put his family through this, and I can understand that. But I would love to see the people behind all of this pay a price for what not only what they did to this man, but what they did to the country. I mean, the country was put through 10 or 15 days of this daily stuff, or every day there was something in the media. And looking back at it right now, even the story of Mrs. Ford doesn't add up. I mean, something happened to that lady. There's no evidence that it was Justice Kavanaugh. So I don't know. I know that Justice Kavanaugh probably wants to put this behind him, and I don't blame him. And frankly, I would like to see this behind us too as a country. But somebody's got to pay. When somebody goes out and accuses you of rape and then later on says, yeah, I made it up, I don't know. Somebody has to pay a price for that. I would also like to know the people around this lady who were giving her advice, the people who worked with her to come up with this information. I think those people also should be put under microscope. I don't know. I just think it was such a bad thing that was done to this man that I would love to see him. I would love to see him do something to at least, not necessarily revenge. It's not really about revenge. It's about justice. I mean, no one again should have to go through what Justice Kavanaugh went through just because he was nominated to the Supreme Court. No one should ever, absolutely never, have to go through that again. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and then we'll be back in a little bit.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's schedule right under the show description. You can see it right there where it says Carlos Geddes schedule. I also want to refer you to another link that we have on there where it says call my friend Duke Machado. If you're looking for a car, if maybe your family needs a car, one of your kids needs a car, just got a license or came back from college or whatever and wants to get a car, call my friend Duke Machado. He's going to take care of you. Trust me. He's going to take very good care of you. On this day in history, let's go back to 1842. Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd were married in Springfield, Illinois. Interesting and fascinating story about these two. Obviously, Abraham Lincoln, 18 years later, was elected president of the United States. She became the first lady of the United States. They had four sons, only one made it to age 20, and that was Robert. One son died at birth, I believe, or at a very young age. Then you had Willie, who died in the White House when he was 11 or 12. And then Tad, who died when he was a teenager after he was assassinated in the White House, I think a few years later. He was only like 16, I think, when he died. But in many ways, a very tragic story, the story of Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd. Fascinating people. I would certainly recommend that you check them out because they're just absolutely, anything about Lincoln has always fascinated me. And his marriage to Mary Todd and her life, Mary Todd, is also something of significant interest. On this day in 1971, the Iranian hostage crisis, this was really, I think, the straw that broke the back of the Carter presidency. The Carter presidency had been struggling all throughout 1979, in the summer, in the fall. Things were really looking bad for President Carter. There was a sense in the country that Carter was in over his head. And it all kind of fell apart at the once the Iranians took over the embassy. I know that there was an effort to rescue the hostages, and sadly, it didn't work. some soldiers were killed in that rescue attempt. But this was really the beginning of the end of the Carter presidency on this day in 1979. On this day in 1980, a bit ironic that this would happen exactly a year later, Ronald Reagan defeated Jimmy Carter for the presidency. It was a huge victory. For days, we had been hearing about how close it was going to be. It was supposed to be a very close election on the Friday, on the Saturday, or the Sunday. It was supposed to be a close election. All the experts were predicting a very tight election. And then, you know, Reagan just swept the country. Now, what the experts say, what many of the experts say, is that what happened in this election is that in the last 24 hours, when people actually said, I mean, the undecideds said, okay, I got to go make a decision. I got to go vote. Who do I vote for? That they voted for Reagan. They just simply said, no, I don't want things to continue the way they are. I'm going to take a chance on Ronald Reagan. And that's what happened. That's what really broke the bank, if you will. And then from that moment on, it was just a landslide for President Reagan. On this day in 1980, again, incredibly, exactly a year after the Iranian hostage crisis. Not a coincidence in my mind. Well, I have a post coming out on Monday. I'm sure all of you remember El Chapo. This is the cartel leader in Mexico who was arrested a couple of times in Mexico, escaped a couple of times in Mexico. Then he was eventually arrested again for the third time in Mexico. Eventually, he was sent to the United States, where he's currently in jail. I don't know if he's formally serving a sentence yet. I think there's a trial going on, but he's literally sitting in a jail in the city of New York somewhere, in a maximum security jail. He's not escaping from that one, believe me. He's going to be in that zip code for quite some time. Well, there's a story that came out, very interesting story that came out, that El Chapo's sons, his two sons, are now running the business in Mexico. His two sons are running the business. By the way, this is also on top of another story, and I talk about this in my post that will be coming out tomorrow morning. This is on top of a story talking about his wife, how he has a very young wife. I think she's like half his age, and or even more than that. She's like 25, and he's close to 50. But anyway, his young wife is running all over Mexico City, you know, from here to there, you know, well-dressed and showing off all these fashions and all of that. She's kind of like a big social person running around the city as the wife of El Chapo, all dressed up and everything else. Anyway, there was a story about that, very interesting. Very interesting story. She's a very attractive, beautiful young woman, mother of two, I believe, but nevertheless, she's, you know, setting the world on fire, as they say, as a fashion person in Mexico City. His two sons are running the business. And here's the interesting part. They say the two sons are totally different than the father, in the sense the father had a weakness for young women. I mean, look, this is what got him in trouble eventually. That's how he was arrested. But the sons apparently have a much more modest lifestyle. They kind of stay in the background. If they have to do anything, they send other people to do it. They kind of stay in the home office, if you know what I mean. They kind of stay away from things. And so far, they've eluded any kind of capture by the Mexican army. The Mexican army is out to get them. I mean, believe me, they want to get them. And apparently the U.S. wants to get them too. But so far, nobody's been able to touch them because they maintain such a low profile. Nobody knows where they are. And they really stay in the background. The bottom line is that eventually they're going to get caught. I mean, it's just a matter of time because of all the technology. I mean, they got their El Chapo was basically brought down by cell phones. They were able to follow him because of his cell phones. So eventually they'll get these two guys. But it's just fascinating to me how big this business is in Mexico. And here you have the sons running the business, and it's a huge business. It's an absolutely huge business, this illegal drug business that they are running. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful day. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of you who saw my article over at Real Clear Politics. That was very flattering to see my article over there. So thank you for doing that. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.